learn in this letter that Don Pedro of Aragon comes this night to Messina.
He is very near by this, Signor Leonato.
How many gentlemen have you lost in this action?
But few of any sort and none of name.
A victory is twice itself when the achiever brings home full numbers. I find here that Don Pedro hath bestowed much honor on a young Florentine called Claudio.
I pray you, is Signor Mountando returned from the wars or no?
I know none of that name, Lady Beatrice.
What is he that you ask for, niece?
My cousin means Signor Benedick of Padua.
Oh, he's returned and as pleasant as ever he was. He hath done good service, lady, in these wars.
He is a very valiant trencher man. He hath an excellent stomach.
And a good soldier too, lady.
And a good soldier too, a lady. But what is he to a lord?
A lord to a lord, a man to a man, stuffed with all honourable virtues.
It is so indeed. He is no less than a stuffed man, but for the stuffing. Well, we are all mortal.
You must not, sir, mistake my niece. There's a kind of merry war betwixt Signor Benedick and her. They never meet, but there's a skirmish of wit between them.
Don Pedro is approached.
Ah, good Signor Leonato. Are you come to meet your trouble? The fashion of the world is to avoid cost, and you encounter it.
Never came trouble to my house in the likeness of your grace. For trouble being gone, comfort should remain. But when you depart from me, sorrow abides, and happiness takes his leave.
Ah, you embrace your charge too willingly. I think this is your daughter.
Her mother hath many times told me so.
Were you in doubt, sir, that you asked her?
Signor Benedick, no, for then were you a child.
You have it full, Benedick. We may guess by this what you are, being a man. Now, truly the lady fathers herself. Be happy, lady, for you are like an honorable father.
If Signor Leonato be her father, she would not have his head on her shoulders for all Messina, as like him as she is.
I wonder that you will still be talking, Signor Benedick. Nobody marks you.
What, my dear Lady Disdain, are you yet living?
Is it possible Disdain should die while she hath such meat food to feed it as Signor Benedick? Courtesy itself must convert to Disdain if you come in her presence.
Then is courtesy a turncoat. But it is certain I am loved of all ladies, only you excepted. And I would I could find in my heart that I had not a hard heart, for truly I love none.
A dear happiness to women. They would else have been troubled with a pernicious suitor. I thank God in my cold blood I am of your humour for that. I'd rather hear my dog bark at a crow than a man swear he loves me.
God keep your ladyship still in that mind, so some gentleman or other shall scape a predestinate scratched face.
Scratching could not make it worse than 'twas such a face as yours were.
Well, you are a rare parrot, teacher.
A bird of my tongue is better than a beast of yours.
I would my horse had the speed of your tongue and so good a continuer. But keep your way, of God's name, I am done.
You always end with a jade's trick. I know you of old.
Well, that is the sum of all, Leonato. Signor Claudio and Signor Benedick, my dear friend Leonato hath invited you all. I tell him we shall stay here at least a month, and he heartily prays some occasion may detain us longer. Well, I dare swear he is no hypocrite, but prays from his heart, eh?
If you swear, my lord, you shall not be forsworn. Ah, Don John.
Mm-hmm.
Let me bid you welcome, my lord, being reconciled to the prince your brother. I owe you all duty.
I thank you. I'm not of many words, but I thank you.
And please, did your grace lead on?
Your hand, Leonato. We will go together.
Benedick, didst thou note here the daughter of Signor Leonato?
Claudio, I noted her not, but I looked on her.
Is she not a modest young lady?
Do you question me as an honest man should do for my simple, true judgment? Or would you have me speak after my custom, as being a professed tyrant to their sex?
No, I pray thee, speak in sober judgment.
Why, faith, methinks she's too low for a high praise, too brown for a fair praise, and too little for a great praise.
Thou thinkst I am in sport. I pray thee, tell me truly how thou likest her. In mine eyes, she is the sweetest lady that ever I looked on.
I can see yet without spectacles, and I see no such matter. There's her cousin, Beatrice. And she were not possessed with a fury, exceeds her as much in beauty as the 1st of May doth the last of December. But I hope you have no intent to turn husband, have you?
I would scarce trust myself, though I had sworn the contrary, if Hera would be my wife.
Is't come to this? Shall I never see a bachelor of 80 again? Go to it, faith, and thou wilt needs thrust thy neck into a yoke, wear the print of it, and sigh away Sundays.
Oh, look.
Don Pedro is returned to seek you.
What secret has held you here that you followed not to Leonatus?
I would your grace would constrain me to tell.
Well, I charge thee on thy allegiance.
You hear, Count Claudio? I can be secret as a dumb man, I would have you think so, but on my allegiance, mark you this, on my allegiance, he is in love. With who? Now that is your grace's part. Mark how short his answer is. With Hero, Leonato's short daughter.
Amen, if you love her, for the lady is very well worthy.
You speak this to fetch me in, my lord?
By my troth, I speak my thought.
And in faith, my lord, I spoke mine.
And by my two faiths and troths, my lord, I spoke mine.
That I love her, I feel.
That she is worthy, I know.
That I neither feel how she should be loved, nor know how she should be worthy, is the opinion that fire cannot melt out of me. I will die in it at the stake.
Thou wast ever an obstinate heretic in the despite of beauty.
That a woman conceive me, I thank her. That she brought me up, I likewise give her most humble thanks. But that I will have a recheat winded in my forehead, or hang my bugle in an invisible baldric, all women shall pardon me. Because I will not do them the wrong to mistrust any, I will do myself the right to trust none. And the fine is, for the which I may go the finer, I will live a bachelor.
I shall see the ere I die look pale with love.
With anger, with sickness, or with hunger, my lord, not with love. Prove that ever I lose more blood with love than I will get again with drinking. Pick out mine eyes with a ballad maker's pen and hang me up at the door of a brothel house for the sign of a blind cupid.
Well, if ever thou dost fall from this faith, thou wilt prove a notable argument.
If I do, hang me in a bottle like a cat and shoot at me, and he that hits me, let him be clapped on the shoulder and called Adam.
Well, as time shall try, in time the savage bull doth bear the yoke.
The savage bull may, but if ever the sensible Benedick bear it, pluck off the bull's horns and set them in my forehead, and let me be vilely painted, and in such great letters as they write, here is good horse to hire, let them signify under my sign, here you may see Benedick, the married man.
If this should ever happen, thou wouldst be horn mad.
Nay, mock not, and so I leave you.
My liege, your highness now may do me good.
My love is thine to teach. Teach it but how, and thou shalt see how apt it is to learn any hard lesson that may do thee good.
Hath Leonato any son, my lord?
No child but Hero. She's his only heir. Dost thou affect her, Claudio? If thou dost love fair Hero, cherish it. And I will break with her and with her father, and thou shalt have her.
How sweetly you do minister to love, that know love's grief by his complexion.
I know we shall have reveling tonight. I will assume thy part in some disguise, and tell fair Hero I am Claudio. And in her bosom I'll unclasp my heart, and take her hearing prisoner with a force and strong encounter of my amorous tale. Then after to her father will I break, and the conclusion is, she shall be thine. In practice, let us put it presently.
What news, Baraccio?
I came yonder from a great supper, Count John. The prince, your brother, is royally entertained by Leonato. And I can give you intelligence of an intended marriage.
Will it serve for any model to build mischief on? What is he for a fool that betroths himself to unquietness?
Marry, it is your brother's right hand.
Who? The most exquisite Claudio?
Even he.
A proper squire. And who? And who? Which way looks he?
Marry on Hero, the daughter and heir of Leonato.
Come, this may prove food to my displeasure. That young start-up hath all the glory of my overthrow. If I can cross him anyway, I bless myself every way. Though I cannot be said to be a flattering, honest man, it must not be denied, but I am a plain-dealing villain. Let us to the great supper.
By my troth, niece, thou wilt never get thee a husband if thou be so shrewd as thy tongue.
Lord, I could not endure a husband with a beard on his face.
You may light on a husband that hath no beard.
What should I do with him? Dress him in my apparel and make him my waiting gentlewoman. He that hath a beard is more than a youth, and he that hath no beard is less than a man. And he that is more than a youth is not for me, and he that is less than a man, I am not for him.
Well, niece, I hope to see you one day fitted with a husband. Ah, the masked revelers are entering. Make good room. You are welcome, gentlemen.
Sure, my brother is amorous on Hero, and hath withdrawn her father to break with him about it. The ladies follow her but one visor remains.
And that is Claudio. I know him by his bearing.
Are you not Signor Benedict?
You know me well. I am he.
Signor, you are very near my brother and his love. He is enamored on Hero. I pray you dissuade him from her. She's no equal for his birth. You may do the part of an honest man in it.
How know you he loves her?
I heard him swear his affection.
So did I too. And he swore he would marry her tonight.
Come, Horatio, let us to the banquet.
Thus answer I in name of Benedick. But hear these ill news with the ears of Claudio. 'Tis certain so. The prince woos for himself. Friendship is constant in all other things save in the office and affairs of love. Therefore, all hearts in love use their own tongues. Let every eye negotiate for itself and trust no agent. For beauty is a witch against whose charms faith melteth into blood. This is an accident of hourly proof which I mistrusted not. Farewell, therefore, Hero.
Now, Signor Benedict, the Lady Beatrice hath a quarrel to you.
She misused me past the endurance of a block. An oak with but one green leaf on it would have answered her. My very visor began to assume life and scold with her. She told me, not thinking I'd been myself, that I was the prince's jester, that I was duller than a great thaw, huddling jest upon jest with such impossible conveyance upon me that I stood like a man at a mark with a whole army shooting at me. She speaks poniards and every word stabs. I would not marry her, though she were endowed with all that Adam had left him before he transgressed.
Look, here she comes.
Oh, will your grace command me any service to the world's end? I will go on the slightest errand now to the antipodes that you can devise to send me on. I will bring you the length of Prester John's foot, fetch you a hair off the great Cham's beard, do you any embassage to the pygmies, rather than hold three words conference with this harpy.
You have no employment for me.
None but to desire your good company.
Oh, God, sir, here's a dish I love not. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
Come, lady, come. You have lost the heart of Signor Benedick. You have put him down, lady, you have put him down.
So I would not issue to me, my lord, lest I should prove the mother of fools. I have brought Count Claudio, whom you sent me to seek.
Why, how now, Count? Wherefore are you sad?
Not sad, my lord.
Are then sick?
Neither, my lord.
The Count is neither sad, nor sick, nor merry, nor well, but civil, Count. Civil as an orange, and something of that jealous complexion.
Your faith, lady, I think your blazon to be true, though I'll be sworn if he be so, his conceit is false. Yet, Claudio, I have wooed in thy name, and fair Hero is won. I have broke with her father, and his good will obtain. Well, name the day of marriage, and God give thee joy.
Count, take of me my daughter, and with her my fortunes. His grace has made a match, and all grace say amen to it.
Speak, Count. 'Tis your cue.
Silence is the perfectest herald of joy. I were but little happy if I could say how much. Lady, as you are mine, I am yours. I give away myself for you and dote upon the exchange.
Speak, cousin! Or if you cannot, stop his mouth with a kiss and let him not speak neither.
In faith, lady, you have a merry heart.
Yea, my lord, I thank it. Poor fool, he keeps on the windy side of care. My cousin tells him in his ear that he is in her heart.
And so she doth, cousin.
Good lord, for alliance! Thus goes every one in the world but I, and I am sunburnt. I may sit in a corner and cry, hey-ho for a husband.
Lady Beatrice, I will get you one.
I would rather have one of your father's sitting. Hath he ne'er a brother like you? Your father got excellent husbands, if a maid could come by them.
Will you have me, lady?
No, my lord. Unless I might have another for working days. Your grace is too costly to wear every day. But I beseech your grace, pardon me. I was born to speak all mirth and no matter.
Your silence most offends me, and to be merry best becomes you, for out of question you were born in a merry hour.
No, sure, my lord, my mother cried. But then there was a star danced, and under that I was born. Cousins, God give you joy.
By my troth, a pleasant-spirited lady. She were an excellent wife for Benedict.
Oh, lord, my lord. If they were but a week married, they would talk themselves mad.
Count Claudio,
When mean you to go to church?
Tomorrow, my lord. But time goes on crutches till love have all his rights.
Not till Monday, my dear son, which is hence a just 7 night, and a time too brief, too, to have all things answer my mind.
Come, you shake the head that's so long a breathing, but I warrant thee, Claudio, the time shall not go dully by us. I will, in the interim, undertake one of Hercules' labours, which is to bring Signor Benedick and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection the one with the other. Oh, I would fain have it a match, and I doubt not but to fashion it, if you three will but minister such assistance as I shall give you direction.
My lord, I'm for you, though it cost me 10 nights watching.
And I, my lord.
And you too, gentle hero?
I will do any modest office, my lord, to help my cousin to a good husband.
It is so. The Count Claudio shall marry the daughter of Leonato.
Yea, my lord, but I can cross it.
How canst thou cross this marriage? Show me, briefly, how.
I think I told your lordship a year since how much I am in the favor of Margaret, the waiting gentlewoman to Hero.
I remember.
I can, at any unseasonable instant of the night, appoint her to look out at her lady's chamber window.
What life is in that to be the death of this marriage?
The poison of that lies in you to temper. Go you to the prince, your brother. Spare not to tell him that he hath wronged his honor in marrying the renowned Claudio, whose estimation do you mightily hold up, to a contaminated stale such a one as Hero.
What proof shall I make of that?
Proof enough to misuse the prince, to vex Claudio, to undo Hero, and kill Leonato. Look you for any other issue?
Only to despite them I will endeavor anything.
Go then. Find me a meet hour to draw Don Pedro and the Count Claudio alone. Tell them that you know that Hero loves me.
Oh.
That you have discovered this, they will scarcely believe without trial. Offer them instances, which shall bear no less likelihood than to see me at her chamber window. Hear me call Margaret Hero. And bring them to see this the very night before the intended wedding.
Be coming, working this, and thy fee is 1,000 ducats.
Be you constant in the accusation, and my cunning shall not shame me.
I will presently go learn their day of marriage.
Boy.
Signor.
In my chamber window lies a book. Bring it hither to me in the orchard.
I am here already, sir.
I know that, but I would have thee hence and here again. I do much wonder that one man, seeing how much another man is a fool when he dedicates his behaviors to love, will, after he hath laughed at such shallow follies in others, become the argument of his own scorn by falling in love. And such a man is Claudio. I have known when there was no music with him but the drum and the fife, and now he'd rather hear the tabor and the pipe. I've known when he would have walked 10 mile afoot to see a good armor. Now will he lie 10 nights awake, carving the fashion of a new doublet. He was wont to speak plain and to the purpose, like an honest man and a soldier. Now is he turned orthography. His words are a very fantastical banquet, just so many strange dishes. The prince and Monsieur Love. I will hide me in the arbor.
Come, shall we hear this music?
Yea, my good lord. How still the evening is, as hushed on purpose to grace harmony.
See you where Benedick hath hid himself.
Oh, very well, my lord. The music ended. We'll fit the hid fox with a pennyworth.
Come, Balthazar, we'll hear that song again.
Sigh no more, ladies, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. 1 foot in sea and 1 on shore. To 1 thing constant never. Then sigh not so, but let them go. And be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into pain, nonny, nonny.
By my troth, a good song. I pray thee get us some excellent music, for tomorrow night we would have it at the Lady Hero's chamber window.
The best I can, my lord.
Do so. Farewell. Now, come hither, Leonato. What was it you told me of today? That your niece Beatrice was in love with Signor Benedick?
Oh, aye, stalk on, the foul sins. I did never think that lady would have loved any man.
No, nor I neither. But most wonderful that she should so dote on Signor Benedick, whom she hath in all outward behaviour seemed to abhor.
Is it possible?
sits the wind in that corner?
By my troth, my lord, I cannot tell what to think of it. But that she loves him with an enraged affection.
I should think this a galba that the white-bearded fellow speaks it. Knavery cannot, sure, hide himself in such reverence.
Hath she made her affection known to Benedick?
No, and swear she never will. That's her torment.
'Tis true indeed, so your daughter says. Shall I, says Beatrice, that have so oft encountered him with scorn, write to him that I love him? Then down upon her knees she falls, weeps, sobs, beats her heart, tears her hair, prays, curses. Oh, sweet Benedick, God give me patience.
She doth indeed. My daughter sometimes afeared she would do a desperate outrage to herself. It is very true.
It were good that Benedick knew of it by some other, if she will not discover.
To what end? He would make but a sport of it, and torment the poor lady worse.
And he should it were in arms to hang him. She's an excellent, sweet lady, and out of all suspicion, she is virtuous.
And she is exceeding wise.
In everything but in loving Benedick. Well, I am sorry for your niece. Shall we go seek Benedick and tell him of her love?
Never tell him, my lord. Let her wear it out with good counsel.
Nay, that's impossible. She may wear her heart out first.
Well, we will hear further of it by your daughter. Let it cool a while. I love Benedick well, and I could wish he would modestly examine himself to see how much he is unworthy so good a lady.
My lord, will you walk? Dinner is ready.
If he do not dote on her upon this, I will never trust my expectation.
Let there be the same net spread for her, and that must your daughter and her gentlewoman carry. Let us send her to call him into dinner.
This can be no trick. The conference was sadly borne. They have the truth of this from here. They say the lady is fair. 'Tis a truth I can bear them witness. And virtuous, 'tis so, I cannot reprove it. And wise, but for loving me. By my troth, it is no addition to her wit, nor no great argument of her folly, for I will be horribly in love with her. I may chance have some odd quirks and remnants of wit broken on me because I railed so long against marriage, but doth not the appetite alter? A man loves the meat in his youth that he cannot endure in his age. Shall quips and sentences and these paper bullets of the brain awe a man from the career of his humor? No, the world must be peopled. When I said I would die a bachelor, I did not think I should live till I were married. Oh, here comes Beatrice. By this day, she's a fair lady. I do spy some marks of love in her.
Against my will, I am sent to bid you come into dinner.
Fair Beatrice, I thank you for your pains.
I took no more pains for those thanks than you take pains to thank me. If it had been painful, I would not have come.
You take pleasure, then, in the message?
Yea. Just so much as you may take upon a knife's point and choke a door withal. You have no stomach, Signor. Fare you well.
Uh-huh. Against my will, I am sent to bid you come in to dinner. There's a double meaning in that. I took no more pains for those thanks than you took pains to thank me. That's as much as to say, any pains that I take for you is as easy as thanks. If I do not take pity of her, I am a villain. If I do not love her, I am a Jew. I will go get her picture.
Now, Ursula, when Beatrice doth come, as we do trace this alley up and down, our talk must only be of Benedick. When I do name him, let it be thy part to praise him more than ever man did merit. Now begin, for look where Beatrice like a lapwing runs close by the ground to hear our conference.
But are you sure that Benedick loves Beatrice so entirely? Oh.
So says the prince and my new trothed lord.
And did they bid you tell her of it, madam?
They did entreat me to acquaint her of it. But I persuaded them, if they loved Benedick, to wish him wrestle with affection and never to let Beatrice know of it.
Why did you so? Doth not the gentleman deserve at full as fortunate a bed as ever Beatrice shall couch upon?
Oh, God of love, I know he doth deserve as much as may be yielded to a man. But nature never framed a woman's heart of prouder stuff than that of Beatrice. Disdain and scorn ride sparkling in her eyes, misprizing what they look on. And her wit values itself so highly that to her all matter else seems weak. Oh, she cannot love, nor take no shape, nor project of affection. She is so self-endeared.
Sure, I think so. And therefore, certainly it were not good she knew his love, lest she'll make sport at it.
No, Rather, I will go to Benedick and counsel him to fight against his passion.
She's limed, I warrant you. We have caught her, madam.
If it proves so, then loving goes by haps. Some Cupid kills with arrows, some with traps.
What fires in mine ears? Can this be true? Stand I condemned for pride and scorn so much? Contempt, farewell. And maiden pride, adieu. No glory lives behind the back of such. And Benedick, love on, I will requite thee, taming my wild heart to thy loving hand. If thou dost love, my kindness shall incite thee to bind our loves up in a holy band. For others say thou dost deserve, and I believe it, better than reporting it.
Sing no more, dearest, sing no more of doubts so dull and heavy. The fraud of men was ever so, since summer first was leaving. Then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hey nonny nonny.
Stay till your marriage be consummate, then go I toward Arragon.
I'll bring you thither, my lord, if you'll vouchsafe me.
Nay, that would be as great a soil of the new gloss of your marriage as to show a child his new coat and forbid him to wear it. I will only be bold with Benedick for his company, for from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, he is all mirth.
Gallants, I am not as I have been.
So say I. Methinks you are sadder.
I hope he be in love.
Oh, hang him, truant. There's no true drop of blood in him to be truly touched with love. If he be sad, he wants money.
I have the toothache.
What? Sigh for the toothache.
Well, everyone can master grief but he that has it.
If he be not in love with some woman, there is no believing old signs. A brushes his hat o' mornings. What should that bode?
Hath any man seen him at the barber's?
No, but the barber's man hath been seen with him, and the old ornament of his cheek hath already stuffed tennis balls.
Indeed, he looks younger than he did by the loss of a beard.
Nay, he rubs himself with civet. Can you smell him out by that?
That's as much as to say the sweet youth's in love.
The greatest note of it is his melancholy.
And when was he wont to wash his face?
Conclude, conclude, he is in love.
Nay, but I know who loves him.
That's what I know too. I warrant one that knows him not.
Yes, and his ill conditions, and in despite of all, dies for him.
She shall be buried with her face upwards.
Yet is this no charm for the toothache. Old senior, walk aside with me. I have studied 8 or 9 wise words to speak to you, which these hobby horses must not hear.
For my life, to break with him about Beatrice.
'Tis even so. Hero and Margaret have by this played their parts with Beatrice, and then the two bears will not bite one another when they meet.
My lord and brother, God save you.
Good den, brother.
If your leisure served, I would speak with you.
In private?
If it please you. Yet can't Claudia may hear, for what I would speak of concerns him.
What's the matter?
Means your lordship to be married tomorrow?
Ah, you know he does.
I know not that, but he knows, but I know.
If there be any impediment, I pray you discover it.
You may think I love you not. Let that appear hereafter, and aim better at me by that I now will manifest.
Why? What's the matter?
The lady is disloyal.
Hero?
Even she, Leonardo's hero, your hero, every man's hero.
Disloyal.
The word is too good to paint out her wickedness. I could say she were worse. Think you of a worse title, and I will fit her to it. Oh, wonder not till further warrant. Go but with me tonight, you shall see her chamber window entered even the night before her wedding day. If you love her then, tomorrow wed her. But it would better fit your honor to change your mind.
May this be so.
I will not think it.
If you dare not trust that you see, confess not that you know. If you will follow me, I will show you enough, and when you have seen more and heard more, proceed accordingly.
If I see anything tonight, why, I should not marry her tomorrow. In the congregation where I should wed, there will I shame her.
And as I wooed for thee to obtain her, I will join with thee to disgrace her.
I will disparage her no farther till you are my witnesses. Bear it coldly, but till midnight. Let the issue show itself.
Being chosen for the prince's watch, are you good men and true?
Yea, or else it were pity but they should suffer salvation, body and soul. Well, give them their charge, neighbour Dogberry.
I will, neighbour Verges. First, who think you the most desertless man to be constable?
George Seacole, for they can write and read.
Come hither, neighbour Seacole.
George, tell me.
God hath blessed you with a good name. To be a well-favoured man is the gift of fortune, but to write and read comes by nature.
Both which, Master Constable...
You have. I knew it would be your answer. You are thought here to be the most senseless and fit man for the Constable of the Watch. Therefore, bear you the lantern. This is your charge. You shall comprehend all vagrant men. You are to bid any man stand in the prince's name.
If he will not stand.
Why, then take no note of him, but let him go. And presently call the rest of the watch together and thank God you are rid of a knave.
Very true.
You shall also make no noise in the streets. For the watch to babble and talk is most tolerable and not to be endured.
We were asleep and talk. We know what belongs to a watch.
Why, you speak like an ancient and most quiet watchman, but I cannot see how sleeping should offend. Only have a care that your bills be not stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you are to call at all the alehouses and bid those that are drunk get them to bed.
If they will not...
Why, then let them alone till they are sober. If they make you not then the better answer, you may say they are not the men you took them for.
Well, sir.
If you meet a thief, you may suspect him by virtue of your office to be no true man. And for such kind of men, the less you meddle or make with them, why, the more is for your honesty.
If we know him to be a thief, shall we not lay hands on him?
Oh, truly, by your office you may. But I think they that touch pitch will be defied. The most peaceable way for you, if you do take a thief, is to let him show himself what he is and steal out of your company. Well, this is the end of the charge. You are to take the prince's own person. Well, masters, good night. And if be any matter of weight chances, call up me. Keep your fellows' counsels and your own, and good night.
Well, masters, we hear our charge. Sit here upon the church bench till 2.
One word more, honest neighbours. I beg you, watch about Signor Leonardo's door, for the wedding being there tomorrow, there is a great coil tonight. Oh. Adieu, be vigitant, I beseech you.
What, Conrad?
Master Seagull.
Peace, stir not. Conrad, I say.
Here, man, I'm at thy elbow.
Oh, Mass, my elbow? I thought there would be a scab follow.
I will owe thee an answer for that. And now, forward with thy tale.
Stand thee close then under this penthouse, for it drizzles rain. And I will, like a true drunkard, utter all to thee.
Some treason, masters, yet stand close.
Therefore, no. I have earned Don John
1,000 ducats. Is it possible that any villainy should be so dear?
No, that I have tonight wooed Margaret, the Lady Hero's gentlewoman, by the name of Hero. Mm-hmm. She leans me out of Mistress Chamber window, bids me 1,000 times good night. I tell this tale vilely. I should first tell thee how the prince, Claudio, and my master, planted and placed and possessed by my master Don John, saw afar off in the orchard this amiable encounter.
And thought they Margaret was Hero.
Oh, two of them did. The prince and Claudia. But the devil, my master, knew she was Margaret, and partly by his oaths, which first possessed them, partly by the dark night, which did deceive them, but chiefly by my villainy, which did confirm any slander that Don John had made, away went Claudio, enraged, swore he would meet her as he was appointed next morning at the temple, and there, before the whole congregation, shame her with what he saw o'ernight, and send her home again without a husband.
We charge in the prince's name, stand!
Call up the right master constable! We have here recovered the most dangerous piece of lechery that ever was known in the Commonwealth.
Masters, masters!
Never speak! We charge you!
We are like to prove a goodly commodity.
Let us obey you to go with us.
Being taken up of these men's bills.
A commodity in question, I warrant you.
Go with us!
Come, we'll obey you.
Come, Friar Francis, be brief, only to the plain form of marriage,
and you shall recount their particular duties afterwards.
You come hither, my lord, to marry this lady?
No. To be married to her. Friar, you come to marry her.
Lady, you come hither to be married to this count?
I do.
If either of you know any inward impediment why you should not be conjoined, I charge you on your souls to utter it.
Know you any, hero?
None, my lord.
Know you any, count?
I dare make his answer, none.
Oh, what men dare do, what men may do, what men daily do, not knowing what they do. Stand thee by, friar. Father, by your leave, will you, with free and unconstrained soul, give me this maid, your daughter?
As freely, son, as God did give her me.
And what have I to give you back, whose worth may counterpoise this rich and precious gift?
Nothing, unless you render her again.
Sweet prince, you learn me noble thankfulness. There, Leonato, take her back again. Give not this rotten orange to your friend. She's but the sign and semblance of her honor. Behold how like a maid she blushes here. Oh, what authority and show of truth can cunning sin cover itself withal? Comes not that blood as modest evidence to witness simple virtue? Would you not swear, all you that see her, that she were a maid by these exterior shows? But she is none. She knows the heat of a luxurious bed. Her blush is guiltiness, not modesty.
What do you mean, my lord?
Not to be married. Not to knit my soul to an approved wanton.
Is my lord well that he doth speak so wide?
Sweet prince, why speak not you?
What should I speak? I stand dishonored that have gone about to link my dear friend to a common stale.
Oh. Are these things spoken, or do I but dream?
Sir, they are spoken, and these things are true.
What man was he talked with you yesternight, out at your window betwixt 12 and 1? Now, if you are a maid, answer to this.
I talked with no man at that hour, my lord.
Why, then, are you no maiden? Leonato, I am sorry you must hear. Upon mine honor, myself, my brother, and this grieved count did see her, hear her, at that hour last night, talk with a ruffian at her chamber window, who hath indeed, most like a liberal villain, confessed the vile encounters they have had 1,000 times in secret.
Fie, they are not to be named, my lord, not to be spoke of. There is not chastity enough in language without offence to utter them.
Oh, how now, cousin? Wherefore sink you down?
Come, let us go. These things come thus to light, smother her spirits up.
How doth the lady?
Dead, I think. Help, uncle. Hero. What? Hero. Uncle! Signor Benedict! Friar!
Oh, fate, take not away thy heavy hand. Death is the fairest cover for a shame that may be wished for.
Oh, no. Cousin Hero.
Have comfort, lady.
Dost thou look up?
Yea, wherefore should she not?
Wherefore? Why, doth not every earthly thing cry shame upon her? Could she here deny the story that is printed in her blood? Do not live, hero. Do not ope thine eyes.
Sir, be patient. For my part, I am so attired in wonder, I know not what to say.
Oh, on my soul, my cousin is belied.
Lady, were you her bedfellow last night?
No, truly not. Although until last night, I have this 12-month been her bedfellow.
Confirmed, confirmed. Oh, that is stronger maid, which was before barred up with ribs of iron. Would the two princes lie, and Claudio lie, who loved her so that, speaking of her foulness, washed it with tears? Hence from her, let her die!
Hear me a little. Trust not my age, my reverence, calling, nor divinity. If this sweet lady lie not guiltless here under some biting error.
Friar, it cannot be.
Lady, what man is he you are accused of?
They know that do accuse me. I know none. If I know more of any man alive than that which maiden modesty doth warrant, let all my sins lack mercy. Oh, my father, prove you that any man with me conversed at hours unmeet, or that I yesternight maintained the change of words with any creature, refuse me, hate me, torture me to death.
There is some strange misprision in the princes.
Two of them have the very bent of honor. And if their wisdoms be misled in this, the practice of it lives in John the Bastard, whose spirits toil in frame of villainies.
I know not. If they speak but truth of her, these hands shall tear her. If they wrong her honor, the proudest of them shall well hear of it.
Pause a while, and let my counsel sway you in this case. Your daughter here, the princess left for dead. Let her a while be secretly kept in, and publish it that she is dead indeed.
What shall become of this? What will this do?
Mary, this well carried, shall on her behalf change slander to remorse. That is some good. She, dying, as it must be so maintained, upon the instant that she was accused, shall be lamented, pitied, and excused of every hearer. Come.
Come, lady, die to live. This wedding day perhaps is but prolonged. Have patience and endure.
Lady Beatrice, have you wept all this while?
Yes, and I will weep a while longer.
I will not desire that.
You have no reason. I do it freely.
Surely I do believe your fair cousin is wronged.
Oh, how much might the man deserve of me that would right her?
Is there any way to show such friendship?
A very even way, but no such friend.
May a man do it.
It is a man's office, but not yours.
I do love nothing in the world so well as you. Is not that strange?
You have stayed me in a happy hour. I was about to protest. I loved you.
And do it with all thy heart.
I love you with so much of my heart that none is left to protest.
Come, bid me do anything for thee.
Kill Claudio. Huh?
Not for the wide world.
You kill me to deny it. Farewell.
Tarry, sweet Beatrice.
I am gone, though I am here. There is no love in you. I pray you, let me go.
Beatrice.
In faith, I will go.
We'll be friends first.
You dare easier be friends with me than fight with mine enemy.
Is Claudio thine enemy?
Is it not approved in the height of villain that has slandered, scorned, dishonored my kinswoman? Oh, that I were a man. Bear her in hand until they come to take hands. And then with public accusation, uncovered slander, unmitigated rancor. Oh, God, that I were a man. I would eat his heart in the marketplace.
Think you in your soul the Count Claudio hath wronged here?
Yea, as sure as I have a thought or so.
Enough, I am engaged. I will challenge him. I will kiss your hand, and so I leave you. By this hand, Claudio shall render me a dear account. As you hear of me, so think of me. Go, comfort your cousin. I must say she is dead. And so, farewell. See, here comes the man we went to see.
Now, Signor, what news?
Good day, my lord. I came to seek you both.
We have been up and down to seek thee, for we are high-proof melancholy and would fain have it beaten away. Wilt thou use thy wit?
It is in my scabbard. Shall I draw it?
As I am an honest man, he looks pale. Art thou sick or angry?
What courage, man! What though care kill the cat? Thou hast metal enough in thee to kill care.
Shall I speak a word in your ear?
God bless me from a challenge.
You are a villain. And just not. I will make it good how you dare, with what you dare, and when you dare. Do me right, or I will protest your cowardice. You have killed a sweet lady, and her death shall fall heavy on you. Let me hear from you.
Well, I will meet you, so I may have good cheer.
What, a feast? A feast? When shall we set the savage bull's horns on the sensible Benedict's head?
Yea, and the text underneath. Here dwells Benedict, the married man.
Fare you well, boy. You know my mind. I will leave you now to your gossip-like humor. You break jests as braggarts do their blades, which, God be thanked, hurt not. My lord, for your many courtesies, I thank you. I must discontinue your company. Your brother, the bastard, is fled from Messina. You have among you killed a sweet and innocent lady. For my lord Lackbeard there, he and I shall meet. Until then, peace be with him.
He is in earnest.
In most profound earnest. And I'll warrant you for the love of Beatrice.
And hath challenged
me? Most sincerely.
What a pretty thing man is when he goes in his doublet and hose and leaves off his wit. How now? Two of my brother's men bound. Braccio one.
Hearken after their offence, my lord.
Officers, what offence have these men done?
Marry, sir, they have committed false report. Moreover, they have spoken untruths. Secondarily, they are slanders. Sixth and lastly, they have belied a lady. Thirdly, they have verified unjust things. And to conclude, they are lying knaves.
Well, first I ask thee, what have they done? Thirdly, I ask thee, what's their offence? Sixth and lastly, why they are committed? And to conclude, what you lay to their charge?
Rightly reasoned and in his own division.
Now, who have you offended, master, that you are thus bound to your answer? This learned constable is too cunning to be understood. What's your offence?
Sweet prince, let me go no farther to mine answer. Do you hear me? And let this count kill me. I have deceived even your very eyes. What your wisdoms could not discover, these shallow fools have brought to light, who in the night overheard me confessing to this man how Don John, your brother, incensed me to slander the lady Hero, how you were brought into the orchard and saw me court Margaret in Hero's garments, how you disgraced her when you should marry her. My villainy they have upon record, which I had rather seal with my death than repeat over to my shame. The lady is dead upon mine and my master's false accusation. And briefly, I desired nothing but the reward of a villain.
Runs not this speech like iron through your blood?
I have drunk poison whilst he uttered it.
But did my brother set thee onto this?
Yea, and paid me richly for the practice of it.
He is composed and framed of treachery, and fled years upon this villainy.
Sweet hero, now thy image doth appear in the rare semblance that I loved it first.
Come, bring away the plaintiffs. By this time our sexton hath reformed Signor Leonato of the matter.
Here comes Master Signor Leonato, and the sexton too.
I thank you, princes, for my daughter's death. Record it with your high and worthy deeds. 'Twas bravely done, if you bethink you of it.
I know not how to pray your patience, yet I must speak. Choose your revenge yourself. Impose me to what penance your invention can lay upon my sin. Yet sinned I not, but in mistaking.
By my soul, nor I. And yet to satisfy this good old man, I would bend under any heavy weight that he'll enjoin me to.
I cannot bid you bid my daughter live. That were impossible. But I pray you both, possess the people in Messina here how innocent she died. And if your love can labor aught in sad invention, hang her an epitaph upon her tomb and sing it to her bones. Sing it tonight. Tomorrow morning come you to my house. And since you could not be my son-in-law, be yet my nephew. My brother hath a daughter almost the copy of my child that's dead, and she alone is heir to both of us. Give her the right you should have given her cousin, and so dies my revenge.
Oh, noble sir, your overkindness doth wring tears from me. I do embrace your offer and dispose for henceforth of poor Claudio.
Tomorrow, then, I will expect your coming. Tonight I take my leave. Farewell, my lords. We look for you tomorrow.
We will not fail.
Tonight I'll mourn with Hero. Monument of Leonardo?
It is, my lord.
Now, music, sound and sing your solemn hymn.
Pardon, goddess of the night, those that slew thy virgin knight, for the which we songs of woe round about her tomb they go. Assist the moan, help us to sigh and groan heavily, heavily. Grace, Lord, and heal your dead, till death be
unto thy bones, good night. Yearly will I do this right.
Good morrow, masters. Put your torches out. The wolves have prayed. And look, the gentle day before the wheels of Phoebus round about dapples the drowsy east with spots of grey. Thanks to you all and leave us. Fare you well.
Good morrow, masters. Each his several way.
And you, gentlewomen all, withdraw into a chamber by yourselves, and when I send for you, come hither masked. The Prince and Claudio promised by this hour to visit me. You know your office, brother. You must be father to your brother's daughter and give her to young Claudio.
Which I will do with confirmed countenance.
Friar, I must entreat your pains, I think.
To do what, Signor?
To bind me or undo me, one of them. Signor Leonardo, truth it is, good Signor, your niece regards me with an eye of favor.
That I, my daughter, lent her. 'Tis most true.
And I do with an eye of love requite her.
The sight whereof I think you had from me, from Claudio, and the prince. But what's your will?
Your answer, sir, is enigmatical. But for my will is your good will may stand with ours. This day to be conjoined in the state of honorable marriage.
in which, good friar, I shall desire your help.
My heart is with your liking.
And my help. Here comes the Prince and Claudio.
Good morrow to this fair assembly.
Good morrow, Prince. Good morrow, Claudio. We here attend you. Are you yet determined today to marry with my brother's daughter?
I'll hold my mind were she an Ethiop.
Call her forth, brother. Here's the friar ready.
Which is the lady I must seize upon?
This same is she, and I do give you her.
Why, then she's mine. Sweet, let me see your face.
No, that you shall not, till you take her hand before this friar and swear to marry her.
Give me your hand. Before this holy friar, I am your husband, if you like of me.
And when I lived, I was your other wife. And when you loved, you were my other husband.
Another hero?
Nothing certainer. One hero died defiled, but I do live. And surely as I live, I am a maid.
The former hero? Hero that is dead?
She died, my lord, but whilst her slander lived.
All this amazement can I qualify. When after that the holy rites are ended, I'll tell you largely of fair hero's death. Meantime, let wonder seem familiar, and to the chapel let us presently.
Soft and fair, friar.
Which is Beatrice?
I answer to that name. What is your will?
Do not you love me?
Why, no. No more than reason.
Why, then, your uncle and the prince and Claudio have been deceived, for they swore you did.
Do not you love me?
Troth, no. No more than reason.
Why, then, my cousin, Margaret and Ursula, are much deceived, for they did swear you did.
They swore that you were almost sick for me.
They swore that you were well nigh dead for me.
Tis no such matter. Then you do not love me.
No, truly, but in friendly recompense.
Come, cousin, I'm sure you love the gentleman.
And I'll be sworn upon that he loves her, for here's a paper written in his hand, a halting sonnet of his own pure brain, fashioned to Beatrice.
And here's another, written in my cousin's hand, stolen from her pocket, containing her affection unto Benedict.
A miracle! Here's our own hands against our hearts. Come, I will have thee, but by this light I take thee for pity.
I would not deny you. But by this good day, I yield upon great persuasion, and partly to save your life. For I was told you were in a consumption.
Oh, peace, now stop your mouth. How dost thou, Benedict, the married man?
I'll tell thee what, Prince. A college of witcrackers cannot flout me out of my humor. Dost thou think I care for a satire or an epigram? No, if a man will be beaten with brains, I shall wear nothing handsome about him. In brief, since I do purpose to marry, I will think nothing to any purpose that the world can say against it, and therefore never flout at me for what I have said against it. For man is a giddy thing, and this is my conclusion. For thy part, Claudio, I did think to have beaten thee, but in that thou art like to be my kinsman, live unbruised, and love my cousin. Come, come, let's have a dance ere we are married, that we may lighten our own hearts and our wives' heels. Prince, thou art sad. Get thee a wife. Get thee a wife. There is no staff more reverend than one tipped with horn. Strike up, pipers.